If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, over to Philippians 3. Follow along as I read verses 15 and 16, please. Philippians 3 and 15. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to focus upon your word. We've gathered as a family to hear from you. We've worshiped you with our music and with our gifts. We come to you in prayer to intercede for one another. And now, Father, we pause before your word and ask you to speak to us. Challenge us where we need to make adjustments. Help us to see that clearly, and we will determine even now that we will make those adjustments because we want to live faithful, obedient lives. And Father, where it's appropriate to be encouraged, we're moving in the right direction. We're making right choices. May we be encouraged as well. And in the process, be better prepared to serve you this week. The experiences of the past week, the concerns for this week, are as different as we are. But we've all come this morning to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, anytime you read that, whether it's in Scripture or anyplace else, it forces you to pause and think, okay, what have we been reading about? What have we been thinking on? And Paul has been challenging us to grow, to press on, to keep at it. He refers to the Philippians, he refers to you and me as many as are perfect. Now, Paul, there's a little bit of a problem here because you told us a couple verses back that we're not perfect. In fact, you said you're not perfect, we're not perfect, but now all of a sudden you're saying that we are perfect, or at least as many of us as are perfect. What are you talking about? Well, in English, when we use the word perfect, we have to put some context around it. A little one brings you their Sunday school paper. It's perfect. Every detail right? Probably not. But it's appropriate, and you're pleased because they were paying attention. And this week they colored in the lines and some different things, and you want to encourage them, and you say, it's perfect. And everybody knows what you mean by that. And then every once in a while you come upon something. Something someone's done, something someone said, and it really is perfect. It was just exactly what was needed. You have to have some context. Two of my favorite people to work with our hands. One of them, we'd be working along, and I'm not a perfectionist, but I like things to be done right. And so does he. Did he? And we'd be working on something, and both of us would be a little frustrated that it wasn't going together quite right, but then all of a sudden he would say, it's close enough. And then another fellow, from time to time we'd be working on something and working really hard and wanting to get it right, and he'd say, well, now, Dan, remember, we're not building fine cabinets here. Were we making junk? No. But it was good enough. It fit the purpose. So we use the English word perfect, but we surround it with context so that we can understand what it means. Paul's language, as he's writing, as he's dictating this letter, was much, much broader. He had more than one word he could use for perfect. So back in verse 12, when he refers to himself and others as not being perfect, I haven't attained it yet. That's a little bit of context that helps us with what he's saying, but he uses a different word. Same root, but a different word. That means truly perfect, absolutely right. We're not there yet. We're moving that direction, but we're not there yet. We're not perfect. Here, he's using a word that maybe we could expand it a little bit and say, being perfected or maturing. We've been at it a while. We're further along than we were. We're not where we were, and we're not where we will be, but we're in process. Paul's saying that's who we are. And that's who we need to be this morning. And as long as the Lord allows us to live here, that's what we need to be. We must never, this side of heaven, come to the conclusion that I've learned it all. There's nothing more I can learn of God's Word. I've given all. I've experienced all. I've suffered all. It's time now to just coast. What happens when an athlete coasts? When a team is sure they're so far ahead they can't lose? An Olympic athlete, running at his very best, way out ahead, more than one has looked to the side to see how far he is ahead, only to be passed by the fellow on the other side. A team, sure, they can't be beaten. Beaten by the team who plays hard right to the end. Paul is reminding us that's who we are. We're in process. We're growing. We're maturing. Therefore, as many of us as are perfect, who are being perfected, maturing, all of us as Christians, remember when Jesus invited people to come to him, he said, come follow me. We're in process. We're following him, becoming more and more like him. And so the question this morning that Paul brings us to is, are you willing to finish well? Some of us are a little closer to that than others if we just go by age. Others, even the youngest among us, may finish today. The challenge still goes out. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you willing to finish well? Two essentials. The first one here at the end of verse 15. You must have the right goal, the right attitude. Having this attitude or motivation. First of all, you've got to understand and have pictured your ministry. Why am I here? When I accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, why didn't He just take me right to heaven? Well, He's given me something to do here and now. He's gifted me through His Holy Spirit so that I can function uniquely, fit in perfectly within the family of God. There are some things that I do, if I don't do them the way I have been gifted to do them, they won't get done. And mine is only one story of those of us who are here this morning. If you are in Christ, you have been gifted to do something. And that is your ministry. Now, does it change? Yeah, it probably does. And if you just look at yourself and how God has used you through the years, if you were blessed to be raised in a godly family and came to Christ early and allowed Him to use you in a variety of ways when you were younger and now and then, that probably changed. The emphasis was different at different times. But you have a ministry. It's why you're here, what you're to be doing. And then the motivation. Why are you doing what you're doing? It may begin with the simple, I have to. I mean, I maybe didn't understand it all right at the beginning, but the more I read of God's Word and the more I understand it, I realize that I have a role to play in my church, in the body of believers that I've been called to, and I've been specially gifted to function there. And so it may at first be simply out of a sense of duty or just pure obedience. But eventually we will move to that place where we do what we do because God has loved us so much and we want to express that love to one another because we love one another. We want to do what we can for one another. And so that one day, we do get to stand before our Heavenly Father and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You served well. You fulfilled the role that I called you to. When Jesus said, 'Follow me,' you followed Him." Whatever that meant, and it will be different for each of us because we've each been uniquely prepared to do just that. Now there is a warning here as well. Paul says, if in anything you have a different attitude or you have a different motivation, God will reveal that also to you. Paul has a wonderful way of challenging us, doesn't he? Here is the truth. Have this attitude. And if you have any other kind of an attitude, he doesn't want to hear it. Let me assure you, he says, God will reveal that also to you. He will reveal it through His Word, His Spirit, or if necessary, through discipline. You see, if this is all about you, and that's what's motivated you, how do I know how God can use me in the church? Well, I do something, and if people applaud my efforts, if I regularly hear what a wonderful person I am and how important I am and how well I do what I do, Paul would say, it's the wrong motivation. It's the wrong attitude. And if you persist in it long enough, and you're still reading in God's Word, He'll show you that that's the wrong attitude. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit within you, He will show you that's the wrong attitude. But I have experienced, and most of you have too, God will not be ignored for long. He will get your attention. And when He's got it, and you're listening, He will redirect you. And if you have been so foolish as to think, oh, God can't use me, Peter said in 2 Peter, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. None of us is lacking in the ability to do what God has called us to do. Can you all do what I do? No. Can I do what many of you can do? No. But that's okay. He didn't call you to do what I do, and He didn't call me to do what you do. But He will provide for us the power to do whatever it is He's called us to do. And believe me, there is always something for you to do. Again, we must not buy into that lie that somehow I have finally done enough, it's time to sit back and let somebody else do it. Do we come to stages in our life where we can't do everything we used to do and God will use us in a different way because of that? Absolutely. But never believe, whether it's a date on a calendar or an ache and pain, that somehow for some reason I'm out of the game. I sit the bench the rest of the way. We're always to be functioning, and God promises the ability to function, not like Him or her, but function as He has called you to function, to work as He has called you to work, to serve as He has called you to serve. And that service will be as unique as each of us is. So have the right goal, the right attitude. And then finally, verse 16, keep your eye on the finish line. Remember where we're going. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Again, we maybe didn't understand it all when we started, depending on how old you were when you recognized Jesus as Savior and as Lord. But if since that time we have been in God's Word, we have understood, you have heard from every platform in this church and others outside, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. That's what it's all about. So the standard is following Him so that one day I will be where He is, but in the meantime, following Him. Don't lose sight of that. Keep your eye on the finish line. Understand where you are. Understand where you're going. You were saved to serve. You were not saved to sit. You were not saved to watch. You were saved to serve, to do something. The one you serve will meet you at the finish line when you are done doing what he saved you to do. So we're to always be doing something. At the base of the Swiss Alps, there's a monument to a climber who died on the mountain. And the epitaph on the monument is simply this: he died climbing. Your epitaph, my epitaph, he, she died serving. The service will be as unique as we are. He died watching? No. He died serving. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. And thank you, Father, for the challenge. It is so tempting to think that we've done enough. The world, our culture, tells us that at some point we should be able to sit down, put our feet up, and just coast. I thank you, Father, for the examples that you've given to me. All through my life and here in this church, of men and women who refuse to believe that lie. Oh, sure, they've been able to move into retirement and their lives have changed significantly, but it's still about serving you, serving your church, serving one another. Being a challenge, being an encouragement to me, to one another. Because they really do want to keep going, keep learning, keep maturing, keep growing. Thank you, Father, for those examples. And if there are those like me from time to time who need to be challenged to keep doing that, or to get going again, may we recognize that challenge, step up, confess sin if necessary, but determine to be obedient and faithful until you choose to call us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.